Hi, welcome to Digital Nomad Stories, the podcast. My name is Anne Klaasse and I am your host. I started this podcast because podcasts have literally changed my life. Because of podcasts that I listened to years ago, I realized it is possible to live as a digital nomad, travel the world while working remotely. I since have started my own business and I travel the world. I am living the dream and I want to share my story, but also the stories of other digital nomads with you, so that hopefully you get inspired and chase your dreams as well. Okay, let's go. Hello, welcome to a new episode of Digital Nomad Stories, the podcast. Today I'm here with Nate and Cassie Goodluck Johnson, and they are the Native Nomads. They have a vlog and a blog at nativenomadlife.com. And I'm super excited to have them on the show. I heard them on another podcast and I thought they had a really interesting travel style, especially, and I think a very important mission to share. So I'm super excited to have them on here. Nate and Cassie, welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you do and your important message, what you stand for?
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so what we do now, we have Native Nomads, which is a blog and a vlog, which we edit content for, we write content for, mainly around like travel, kind of off the beaten path, getting to know the local cultures of the places that we go and the people. So that's really been our main focus for Native Nomads. The reason we're called Native Nomads is because I'm Native American. And you used to have a company called Native Gardener.
Yeah, I used to work
back in Oregon.
I did, yeah. I used to work with Native Plants. I still do. We're still in the process.
And it just sort of felt catchy, Native Nomads, you know, when we were coming up with our name. And so we're part-time nomads. We have a home base here in Mexico, but we travel quite a bit. And that's what Native Nomads is based on. So other than that, we have client work. I'm mainly working with, like, as an editor for film and documentary stuff for clients. And then Nate is doing web development.
Yeah, just up until recently, I was a teacher. I was a teacher for 2.5 years as we started doing the location-independent lifestyle. With new regulations, it started to change a little bit. And so I have transitioned in the last about 4 months into web development.
Oh, interesting. I definitely want to learn more about your transition and how that is going, because, I mean, it's not always easy to just transition into a new industry from teaching to web development. But first of all, I would love to learn more about why and when did you leave your home country?
So We just kind of walked down memory lane, 3-4 days ago? About 4 days ago, we took a trip to Playa del Carmen and the Tulum area near the Caribbean and here in Mexico. And it kind of made us think about, like, when we were deciding to leave our home country, actually, which was we took a trip, just a normal vacation that we normally would do about twice a year. We would try to go somewhere for a week or 10 days. But this was, I guess it was just a fated trip that was going to affect the rest of our lives, which was a trip to Tulum. And when we went there, we said the same things. We said, oh man, this place is so great. Such a cool place to visit. Oh, we could see ourselves living here, because that was a running thing. We would always say we could see ourselves living everywhere. And so after that trip, we had a good time. We spent 7 days in Tulum?
2 weeks
in Tulum. 2 weeks in Tulum. So it was a long time ago. But it was we spent 2 weeks in Tulum just absorbing everything. The culture, just really falling in love with the place. So when we went back home to Portland, Oregon, we kind of left. I feel like we left a little bit of ourselves here in Mexico because we really couldn't wait to come back. So we secretly bought one-way tickets without telling anybody and worked really, really hard to save every single cent that we could. We both had companies up in the States. I had a landscaping company. My wife, Cassie, she had a film company. And so we just worked really, really hard, sold everything we had, and just kind of took a leap. And we didn't really plan to spend or land in Mexico. We just thought this was going to be a launching pad for the rest of the world. But as we slowly, you know, explored the country, we found that this was going to be a really, really good home base and allows us to actually, after 4 years here, almost 4 years, it's been a place that we've really, really liked and that really has become a launching pad for the rest of the world.
I love that. I think so many people have that they go on a vacation and then they say, oh, I never want to leave. I could definitely see myself living here, but then actually doing it. That's not many people who actually take that step and book that one-way ticket. How long did you take from going back to the States to like saving all that money, selling everything, and then heading out again? What was that time period in between?
It was a short turnaround. I think it was about 6 months. It was about 6 months that we gave. I'm off on my numbers today.
It's okay. It was 9 because we went, it was the beginning of June when we went to Tulum. And then we came here the end of March the next year.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So that is really fast. Maybe you're also so lucky that you found the country where you want to live right away. Like this is it. I think that is so cool. Yeah. So then, Nate, you mentioned that you started teaching online, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So there was a couple of steps before that.
Okay, please go back then.
There was a couple of steps before the teaching thing. So we saved up a bunch of money to start our journey, kind of like a leap of faith into the world. Like, okay, we're going to try to make money out there while we're traveling. So I did drop shipping. I did every single freelance app that you could get on your phone that they would allow you to not have to ping, if you were outside of the country. And then like after a lot of, we had a store, so we had a plastic free store that I would run online that a lot of it was not really super profitable. It was good for the world. And that's kind of where I felt like that's where, I found my passion to keep going and keep paying for marketing and keep the store alive. But it kind of ended up not giving enough money for us to continue to travel. And so when we first started thinking about going internationally, I was on a website called Goats on the Road. Our friend actually writes for them, but they had talked about this company called VIP Kid, and I was like, okay, I'm going to check it out, and went into it, filled out the application. They said, oh, you have to teach an adult that's going to act like a 5-year-old. And I was like, no, that's okay. Right. I was like, it's okay. I don't need it. And so, about a year later, after we had been in Mexico for about 6 months, our money was starting to dwindle. We were traveling a ton in Mexico, spending money on food, Airbnbs, travel, all of those things. Our money just started kind of tanking pretty quickly because you can spend money here in Mexico. It's not as cheap as people like to make it seem. I started looking back into it. I was like, okay, desperate times come for, you know, desperate situations. And so I taught the adult that acted like a 5-year-old. I took no training at all.
Was it as weird as it sounds?
It was weird. Yeah. When they act like they're, she was getting distracted. She would say words that like I didn't say. And I failed, actually. I failed twice. Yeah, I failed twice getting into it. But I just kept going. I just kept pushing along. And I passed all of the tests on my second try. No, on my third try. They're really encouraging when you, they're like, this is how you can improve. This is how you can get better. And I have a small amount of teaching experience. I don't have my education in education. As I've done most things, I just learned as I went. And that was 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and you taught for more than 2 years with them then.
Yep. 7 days a week. And I ended up, you know, becoming one of their teachers that they've done stories on. So they've written stories on the traveling VIP kid teacher. I've made really good friendships with parents and really mentored a lot of kids, over 300 classes sometimes.
Cool, yeah.
It's been a really good experience, but sad to see it come to an end, but not super sad that it's coming to an end right now.
Yeah, is it ready for the next chapter?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, so can you share a little bit about what changed in regulations? Because I heard of it, but maybe not everyone who's listening is also aware of this.
Sure, yeah. So China what the Chinese and the new education bill is getting a lot of the workload off of the Chinese kids. So in the past, they used to take classes, like little kids would take classes after 9 p.m. They would take classes on vacation. They would take classes on holiday, anytime in between. And so part of the new education bill is basically relieving a lot of that pressure off of the kids. So they don't take classes on weekends anymore. They don't take classes on holidays. But with that came no more foreign teachers in China. And that's the big one. So that's the one that affected every single company that has been operating, hiring U.S. and Canadian teachers to teach kids in China English. So that's the big one that's stopping everybody. VIP Kid actually just came out with their worldwide program just today. I just got the email today of them expanding, but at that point, we don't really know exactly what it is yet, but classes have gone from 40 hours a week to, you know, 7 classes a week. So.
Yes. Yeah. So definitely time for a change for you. And Cassie, how was it for you to leave the US and the company that you had there? Was it possible for you to just take it on the road immediately, or did you have to make a big change in how you ran your company?
That's a good question. I would say it's been, pretty seamless or smooth, but at the same time, I think that I was able to take a break from that company, the way that I was running it, at least, and kind of be able to kind of spread my wings or just, you know, work on content that I really wanted to. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, for the first year or so, other than like one client, I was mainly just making stuff on my own that I wanted to make. And it wasn't necessarily generating money at that point. But it was kind of nice to not have to work for clients as much, because, you know, you kind of develop more of your skills and more of your style and like what it is that you want to be putting out into the world. And so I was lucky to have that time. And then over the course of, you know, it's been almost 4 years now that we've been living here, I've started to build back my client work, but it's in a new way. It's kind of different in terms of the workflow. It's like people, you know, sending me a hard drive with the footage, or sending it through like Google Drive or Dropbox or something. And so being able to work on stuff in a remote way, and I do think COVID has just changed that for the entire world. And then it's made it almost easier for me to get clients based on like, okay, people are more like accepting or used to this sort of remote work life. So it's only made it my job easier in a way that I don't have to explain, like, yeah, I can do this and not live in the States and still give quality work, if not better in a way, because I'm happier in my life, I think, here. So, yeah, I guess it's just kind of up-leveled, but in a way, or it's morphed, and I'm happy with the way that it has. And I'm just kind of continuing to get to work in new directions that I think my company in Portland was like a great launching pad. It was like where I really started to work for clients and make money and not have to necessarily work for a boss. You know, I was an entrepreneur. So I think that was really good experience for me. But now I feel like I'm even branching out and kind of manifesting client work that like is stuff that I'm actually really passionate about. Like the stuff that I worked on before, I was also passionate about. But I feel like I'm even going deeper. Like, I don't know if I'm explaining it very well, but, I'm just excited with the new direction that, yeah, the client work that I'm doing is going. So.
Yeah, I think I understand what you mean. You're just finding out more and more what you want to do exactly. You're just niching down more and more as you go. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Absolutely. So what are some of the key things you had to change to take your company remotely?
That's a good question too. I guess, yeah, just sometimes like the workflow, like, you know, sending a hard drive into another country, you know, you just have to make sure like, okay, is it a reputable company you're going through that it's going to get there safely? Cause the stuff on the hard drive is precious, you know, gold almost, and you don't want to lose it. And then just, yeah, being able to, I guess, work in a way where, you know, you have good communication, but it's not like you're meeting with that person in person. So, I think that just takes, I guess, time and experience to kind of get to that. And
stocking up on electronics when we go to the United States.
Yeah, stocking up with electronics to go to the U.S. I think vlogging has actually helped me a lot. I was realizing some of the stuff that I used to put out, like on YouTube, like my old YouTube channel, it would just be client work, which is great. But now it's like I've almost become more comfortable with putting out my own voice and like my own life stuff. And so in a way, I think that's kind of helped my work with clients because you kind of just develop a style. So I'm sorry. I don't know if that's answering your question. I hope so.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So it's summarize, it's rethinking your workflows to make that possible to do everything remotely. And then the second thing you said is building a personal brand. So showing people more about you so that you build a connection that way. Like you cannot see them face to face. You have to build that trust. And then having your own, having your vlogs is probably really helpful for that, I can imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think one thing we kind of learned from some friends who are like in this location in the digital nomad world is like according to our friends, you know, like the smartest thing you can do is to work for yourself and not necessarily like a boss, because, you know, just with the changing job markets and how, you know, things just are changing constantly. If you build your own personal brand, that can go such a long way. And I do think that's brought clients, you know, most of the clients that I get throughout my entire career have been word of mouth. And a lot of times, you know, the first string of like a string of clients starts with like something that someone saw that you did, and that was maybe online. So yeah, just being able to build your brand has been, I think, crucial. And then of course, you know, just good word of mouth and keeping good relationships. It's like, you never know what one relationship 5 years ago can lead to another job 5 years down the road. So just trying to keep those relationships good.
Yeah. I think that is a great tip. Yeah. For any digital nomad, building a personal brand makes you flexible. If you want to change direction, it's your personal brand. So you can change industries like relatively quickly. I think you can really show more about you and your life and your lifestyle. And I think that's super valuable.
Exactly. I was going to say the digital footprint is massive when it comes to word of mouth. That, you know, maybe a local market, if you were running a video company or a film company, you would have, you know, you put your stuff out, but most of your client work is going to go to somebody's workout video or go to somebody's local little group. But the digital footprint of the word of mouth, I mean, it's just so massive that you find that once you hit your niche, it just never stops. It just continues to snowball into, you know, hiring more people into your company or expanding or condensing and only picking the projects that you want to work on. So
yes, absolutely. I think that's also a really good comment. That's it's a luxury, I think, that you can pick the companies and the people that you want to work with. So Nate, how was it for you to transition from teaching to web development? Did you have any experience in web development or did you have to start from absolute zero?
I have about 8 years of web development experience. I've been kind of dabbling in coding and front end and back end coding for about 8 years, I guess. I had a friend of mine that he was working for a tech company and he was like, oh, do you want to learn? We had just moved back to Portland and we used to go over to his office and he would just show me all these different things that you could do on a computer. And it just blew my mind. I've had like 9 careers. Cassie's mom always says like, oh, like Nate is always, he's worked in almost everything. So, So it's just a new transition to just a life of transitioning from career to career. But it's been one that I've been interested in quite a while. But I didn't go into it blind. I knew I liked the computer work. I liked that you can do it anywhere in the world as long as you have a very weak signal, even if you have a weak signal. But
I just want to add something that you. Something really cool is that Nate, I think it was the beginning of this year, we're in this mastermind and we meet up regularly and just talk about like our goals and like, are we meeting them and that kind of stuff. And Nate had set a goal that he was going to quit VIP Kit and transition into his side hustle. He had already started picking up clients, but it was like a side hustle at that point for web development. And then your goal was at the beginning of 2022, you're going to be done with VIP Kit.
China beat
and
him to
so
it.
And so he's already working on that goal, but then, yeah, China beat him to it. And we were kind of actually, we were sad, but we were also kind of, you know, it was like, whoa, like you're getting to your goal faster than you thought that you were going to. So
yeah, and good that you already started. I think for many teachers who have been living off VIP Kit that they might be in trouble now. Like you have this whole lifestyle built around teaching and then all of a sudden you cannot teach anymore. I think that might be very stressful.
Devastating. Yeah. I would read sad stories on the support boards and on the Facebook groups of teachers that this was their life. I mean, that's all they've known for the last 5 years. You know, they've been around for a lot longer than I have, and now just kind of rug pulled up from underneath them. So I'm glad that I have more than one interest.
Yes, absolutely. That you work in every industry. That's really good. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit more about how you found your first clients or maybe your very first client in this new industry? Because I know, I mean, for me, that was not easy. That was a journey.
I gave away websites for free. Yeah. So every friend that I had, every person that couldn't afford a website, our blog, our different entrepreneurial activities, anything and everything I could do to continue building, learning how to work with clients, building in different coding languages. So that's, yeah, basically how I did it. So I gave them away for free until people just kind of got fed up with it and started paying me.
Yeah, I think that is also a great advice. Also to get some experience under your belt. And then you can also build a portfolio that way. So I think that definitely makes sense. So that does mean that it takes some time to get that first paying client.
Yes. I would say, yeah, I mean, you should give yourself, I mean, if you're going to go through a boot camp or something like that for front-end programming, I would probably give yourself probably 6 to 8 months of intense education. I mean, in that time, you can build, I mean, there's so many different platforms now. You can build on, you can build websites for people with Wix, with Squarespace, with other these plug and play builders until you get to a point where you feel more comfortable developing on your own. But I would probably give yourself probably 6 to 8 months of really good education before you, you know, or just jump into it. Either one doesn't, you know?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it also depends on your own personality. I mean, some people might want like a little bit more risk, and some people they want to be really confident before they start taking on paying clients. And why did you decide to work freelance or at least have your own company instead of working for someone else? Is that a conscious decision as well?
Oh, kind of always have.
Yeah.
even when I worked for companies, I was always doing something entrepreneurial on the side. Gives me just kind of like a little bit more feeling of kind of control over what my future has. And so, yeah, I always have.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I come from a family of entrepreneurs. And it's just kind of in my blood, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely imagine. I love entrepreneurship, and it's definitely, I don't know if I could work for a boss again. I don't know. It's different mindset.
Exactly. Well, they say that sometimes when you're an entrepreneur, you trade one boss in for 500, but because you have clients, but you know, you can never fire your boss. He can fire you. As an entrepreneur, you can say, this has been great. I've had a great time, but I'm transitioning and I'm moving on. And you can, if it's toxic, you can let them go instead of, you know, the alternative. So that's always another part that's kind of nice about having control.
Yeah. And how do you balance travel and also working, especially like when you're teaching, you have to work certain hours, of course. And when you're building up a new part of your company, like for you, Cassie, going remote, I mean, it's also a lot of work, right? So how do you balance the two between traveling, but also getting enough work done?
Yeah, that could be tricky. I think for me, I think just finding like the figuring out the times that you're most productive. I always kind of, well, sometimes I say, you know, oh, I'll work at night and then we can have fun during the day. And that doesn't usually work that great. I think it's better to get in the hard work for me, at least in the morning, for at least a couple hours. It doesn't have to be anything long. And then you kind of have the rest of the day to do whatever you want. But just getting in, you know, if you know you have to work, get in a couple hours first thing. Get your coffee, get set up, and then, you know, and then you can, I mean, that is a beautiful thing about setting your own schedule is like, nobody's telling you when you have to do the work. You just know that you may probably have a deadline and you should put it off to the last minute. So just kind of, you know, putting in a couple hours here and there can go a long way. I think the other thing is there are some days though, when you just have to say, you know what, I have to put in a 10-hour day. And like Rome or wherever you are, it's going to be there tomorrow. Like you can explore it the next day. So there are times when you have to make those sacrifices, and it does really suck because, you know, you're thinking about all the things like you could be doing. But I think it's really important to realize you're also investing in the ability to keep traveling, you know, by having money to do it. And so if you don't kind of tend to your work clients, your projects, you know, it could fade away. So yeah, I think it's really important to balance it, but also, you know, put in time for fun, even if we're not traveling. I mean, it's really important as an entrepreneur to put in time to like get away from your computer, go on a walk, go see a friend, like do something active that has nothing to do with work or your computer screen. So yeah, it's a juggle. But what about you? He had a little bit different. Now it's going to change. But yeah, waking up.
I used to wake up at 3:45 in the morning, and I would be done with work by 7 or 8 a.m.
Wow.
And so that makes the balance really, really easy. Because when you're done with work by 8 a.m., you have the rest of the day to catch a flight or take a tour or anything and everything else you want to do. People always tell me like, oh, I had to wake up so early today. Like, how early? How early did you have to wake up? Was it 3:45?
Yeah, but I think you don't even wake up early. I think you just wake up late at night. It's not even early morning. It's so early that's not even early morning anymore.
Yeah, I caught the sunrise for 2.5 years. But that made, though, it actually made the, it made our travel balance of the work and the travel easy. It did make nightlife hard. Because usually around like 8:45, I was thinking, okay, it's time to go to bed. But
and you also needed to nap after.
I did. So yeah, that was just recently.
Which was fine, but I think recently you started getting burned out.
Yeah.
So it was hard. Like now you have a lot more energy to travel. I think that's the one big thing is like if you do work at 3:45 in the morning and you're getting like 4 hours of sleep, you burn out and it's like, I was worrying. I was like, I don't know how sustainable this is, you know, because you would be getting tired.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, when we went on that last trip, you didn't have to wake up at 3:45 and you had, except maybe one day, did you? Mm-hmm. No. And you had a lot more energy. So
yeah, mm-hmm.
It's good to get sleep. I mean, that's just me, but
when you don't have it, you realize how much you need it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. When I was in university, I worked as a bartender and I used to work nights. I mean, I would finish work 4 a.m. if I was lucky, but sometimes it was 7 a.m. when I was done with work. And it just threw off my sleep schedule completely every week. I would work Friday and Saturday night. And then on Sunday, I would just spend the whole day sleeping. And then Monday morning, I had to go to university to go to lectures and stuff like that. And after 3 years, I was like, no, I'm never doing this again. That's it. Because, it's completely true what you say. Like, and in theory, you have the whole day. But then if you're super tired, you still cannot really enjoy it. So, I mean, pros and cons, of course.
I can fake it for Instagram. Like.
Yeah, for the vlogs. Yeah, that's good. So what are some of the trips that you still have on your bucket list that you are planning to go on soon?
I actually have a bucket list.
We
Let's
do.
See. I got to move this chair.
If you were to see behind, we have a I built a whiteboard. That's 7 feet tall by 4 feet wide of all the things that we want to do.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So there's a lot on there.
It's completely packed.
Actually the list here, it's like dive. We want to get our dive certification, maybe in Cozumel, travel south of Mexico, which is kind of a joke at this point because we were supposed to like go on like a gap year, like an adult gap year, on when we came to Mexico, and then we ended up just like staying here. So we have been south of Mexico to Belize, but other than that, like our trip to Guatemala got canceled because of COVID, and like we really want to keep going south to like Ecuador and
Peru
and Colombia. Brazil and Colombia and Costa Rica and really explore Central and South America, Guatemala. And then next spring, we really want to go to Europe. So doing mainly like, I guess, Mediterranean countries, like Portugal, Spain, Italy, Greece. And then one day, I really want to do the Camino de Santiago, like the walk through Spain and I guess part of France. We're going to Guanajuato soon.
You're going to Guanajuato for the
Cervantino Festival.
Yep. That's a beautiful city in Mexico. I think upcoming, we're doing a Spanish immersion, or we're planning on doing a Spanish immersion in Guatemala, where you stay with a local family and all you speak is Spanish.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah.
30 Spanish lessons a week.
Yeah, 30 hours a week. And it's really affordable, and you get the homestay and the, like, the cultural immersion. And it's in this beautiful city. Like, a bunch of our friends have been, we haven't been yet, Antigua. So it's like you can see like this huge volcano that's really close by that you can also hike. It just looks beautiful. It's like cobblestone streets and like really bright yellow houses, and it looks cute. So we want to go there soon.
Yeah.
Cool. That sounds really awesome. Yeah. I mean, I've tried to do the local immersion here in Germany by moving to Germany. Still don't speak German though. So didn't really work out how I planned. But I think like that way is probably better to stay with a local family, because I also obviously don't stay with a local family and everyone speaks English here. Failed.
it's hard to like I was just talking to some friends last night about like learning Spanish. I mean, even after being here for almost 4 years, like my Spanish is definitely getting a lot better, but I'm not to that level where like if a conversation is going really fast and people are going back and forth, I just start to, my mind almost starts to freeze. And I need to get past that barrier where I can just like fully understand. So I think a big part of that will be, like doing this immersion and like the constant classes and then being around people who will not let you speak English. Because so many people here speak English and it makes it hard to learn, you know, so.
Yeah, I'll admit that also sometimes I'm just lazy and I'm like, okay, I could try to ask this in German, but I could also just speak English and everyone understands. And then it's just so easy to just be lazy and ask in English.
Yeah, because like sometimes I feel like people, they're also being polite, but I think sometimes they're kind of like, this is just going to go a lot faster if we just talk in the language we both know. But then it's like, you have to, I guess, sometimes be a little bit like, no, like determined, like I'm going to try. I'm going to sound like really stupid probably, but like that's how you learn. And I'm trying to get to that, like remember that constantly, like don't let them speak English. I have to speak Spanish.
Somebody asks you your name and you tell them your age.
Yeah, just really like some, you know, you're going to sound stupid sometimes, but
it's learning.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited for you that you're going to do that Spanish immersion. I mean, it sounds like a really good experience, how you described it. And it sounds also like a really beautiful place to do it. So super exciting. So where can people find you if they want to follow along with your journey and the travels that you have planned, the long bucket list? Where can people find you best?
You can find us at our website at nativenomadlife.com. You can find us on Instagram at nativenomadsvlog. And you can find us at the same name on YouTube as nativenomadsvlog.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Nate and Cassie. It was great having you on the podcast and hearing your stories. Yeah, I think we got some really good tips and some good inspiration how it is to move to Mexico and starting new careers or pivoting into remote work, pivoting your whole company into remote work. Also not easy, of course. But thank you so much. This was great.
Of course.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it very, very much. I would appreciate it even more if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts for me. That way, more people can find this podcast, more people can hear the inspiring stories that we're sharing, and the more people we can impact for the better. So thank you so much if you are going to leave a review. I really appreciate you, and I will see you in the next episode.